The Great Canadian Talk Show.
It was only a couple of watts, but I brought the truth to everyone within three blocks of the west side of campus.
No way! Yes way!
And now, let's get right down to business with Marty Gold.
Welcome to the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast. I'm Marty Gold. This is a bit of a special bonus edition, episode 34 of season 4. We're putting something out for the weekend that will be a little shorter than the usual podcasts. And just to get you caught up on some things that haven't really fit in into the regular podcasts. Of course, you can catch every podcast of the Great Canadian Talk Show at actionline.ca. We're in the home stretch of our fundraising drive. A message from one donor this past week, all hail Ortalia. Of course, that is the continent invented by the Free Press back in 2008 in a column. In spite of the fact that obviously it was about what were called bikey gangs, what we would call biker gangs here in Winnipeg. And the Free Press steadfastly for many, many years refusing to correct Ortalia to Australia. Because Nicholas Hearst, the rest of them back in those days, they couldn't dare be found admitting to having made such a simple error and correcting it and being called out on college radio. Well, Ortalia lived. In fact, in one interview that I did, Adam West became the honorary, since he was the honorary mayor, he was the mayor, actually, of Quahog, he became the honorary mayor of Ortalia, which is a big trick because Ortalia was an entire continent. Anyways, that old meme, it would have been a meme if we'd actually done one, being raised by one of our donors. We are within, as I record this, $455 of our $3,800 goal. Anything you can do to contribute, large or small, is always appreciated as it keeps me on the beat. I'm endeavoring to do this as a full-time kind of job, as well as, you know, whatever other work falls my way in the realm of the things I've done in marketing and PR and rewriting and editing and announcing and those kinds of things. But in the meantime, this has become an expensive proposition, and your support makes sure that I can continue to cover City Hall, continue to tell the other side of the story, the critical coverage that is not given by the uncritical Winnipeg media towards various public figures, various public policies. And again, what I'm trying to do here is what I've been trained in for decades by people that were much smarter than me, but somehow I got dragged into this, and here I am. Another donor. This is a two-time donor, actually, the program with a note. I don't always have time to read your stuff. I never have time to listen to a podcast. I read the synopsis. Sometimes I want a bit of detail on a certain item. I hope you're keeping well. I find keeping informed is watching the city turn into a shithole. Disheartening. But it is better than being ignorant. So we try to shed light on various things. Keep an eye on City Hall, the Legislature, Winnipeg Media. Now, a note was passed to me by one of our regular listeners, a longtime friend of the program, who filled me in that Janet Stewart was leaving CBC Evening News, what we used to call 24 Hours, and is going to be taking over the noon program, noon hour? What do they call it over at CBC? Now, that might actually attract some listeners, because CJOB during their noon hour, they appeal to a very niche audience, which is to say hockey fans, and you got to be a hardcore hockey fan pretty much to listen between 12 and 1, abandoning the traditional sort of news and information format. And Janet Stewart could draw listeners to CBC, not that they should be drawing listeners away from commercial radio. She's managed, I don't remember when she got to CBC, but it's about 20 years. It's been a long time, and managed to parlay the inability to get through a newscast without multiple repeated slips while reading scripts that were written for her. But Janet Stewart, nonetheless, becoming a character that is highly regarded by the Winnipeg audience. I mean, she's not threatening. She's never really, I mean, she's never broken a story. She's a newsreader and the sort of prototypical cat lady. And there's a certain segment of the audience that finds her appealing. And moving over to radio, she won't ever have to really worry about how she looks anymore, except for the day they do the headshots. This listener saying an old friend of our program, going back to our Kick FM days, Carolyn Bargoot, has the inside track. If I was a CBC executive producer, I'd make sure they covered City Hall, police, and local sports better. Whoa, can you imagine what Peter Young would say about that? He'd be trumpeting that as the best idea around. None of the local TV stations cover amateur sports very well, yet there is a huge staple south of the border. And it used to be here, except you have various managerial class decisions being made that amateur sport, local hockey, baseball, softball, ringette, pickleball, you name it, it's just not worth investing time in CTV, CKY. You just do 10 to 15 minutes of sports. It drew ratings. It got people interested. It convinced people that the newsroom was committed to the community. Instead, not only do they not cover amateur sports, provincial political coverage as well needs to be bumped up, according to this listener. And for crying out loud, this is to CBC, I guess. Get a meteorologist. It is embarrassing. Well, we don't cover amateur sports very much, or maybe I'm going to have to. We cover City Hall, we cover police, cover the media, and cover the legislature. I'm going to have, working on the scheduling, to have a guest from the Canadian Taxpayers Federation on to discuss the provincial budget, and also I'm going to look back at the city budget with them. And this is going to seem like a bit of an odd turn, but you know, I've been trying to get caught up on various items within the provincial budget. I spoke in the last podcast, about the Marquess housing plan being at City Hall, but I did speak in the course of that back and forth with myself on various subjects about the budget, about the commitment from the Canoe government for an injection site that it's being pushed, the government's being pushed towards safe supply. But there's other things that came up in the budget that I hadn't really noticed earlier today from kind of an unlikely source. But I'm going to make note of a couple of things. The hiring of a seniors advocate, more money allotted towards personal care homes, and I guess building the first of four planned personal care homes, better than nothing. I've become much more aware in the last year or so about the operation of personal care homes in this province. Not so much from my family dealings, but from other people that work in the field and people who have family in care homes. And it's with an aging population, it's not a subject that's going to go away. And, you know, there's expectations in care homes in terms of the level of services provided, in terms of the level of cleanliness that's expected, that certainly aren't matched by our hospitals, because the Health Science Center emergency room, the Children's Hospital emergency room, they're pigsties. Eyewitness accounts in the course of the last, like, literally 2 months. So I found that interesting. At some point, I think I'm probably going to do a story about care homes. There's something on one of the back plates here, so to speak. Also, and I would have mentioned this in the other podcasts, in the last podcast, the only one after the budget, a $300 rebate for security system purchases by families and small businesses. I'll be asking our sponsor, Jamrock Security, about that. But $300, that's not much help. And we advocated for this on Kick FM with George Hicks, the speaker, then the Speaker of the House with the NDP government, going back to 2008 or 9, about providing financial support for people to provide security for their homes. And the NDP had a chance back then. Hicks claimed he liked it. He never brought it forward. The NDP were in government for another 5 or 6 years, and it took till them taking power again. This is an idea that is literally 15 years overdue. Better late than never, better something than nothing. I'll look more into that in the future. Now, there are a couple other matters from the provincial budget that was flagged in this, is a community email, not really a press release, but it was a lot of it was a regurgitation from the government press releases of all the various programs and tax breaks and the money they're throwing at healthcare professionals that they don't have a chance, not even a hope of finding 1,000 to hire. But then there was a turn in this document, so to speak, as I went through it, this recounting of the budget, because the issue of the Jewish community and anti-Semitism came up. Right after this brief break, I'm going to come back. I'm going to get into it. We're going to talk about a couple of these budget items, and then we're going to talk about the Winnipeg media and some recent examples of where they've crossed the line into really anti-Semitic tropes, the kind of anti-Israel rhetoric that goes on. And this is like a subtle shift. But, you know, like this, like when the Overton, what we talk about, the Overton window shifting, and there's a shift now. So all sorts of nonsense, all sorts of just ludicrous ideas, trying to reorient Winnipeggers towards how they should look at what's going on in the Middle East, how they should look at the nature of urban warfare, which is really what the Israeli Defense Forces are trying to conduct in rooting out Hamas. Going to go into those issues. Free Press, Winnipeg Sun, both being scolded recently. You're going to want to hear why. Right after this break, these words from our sponsors.
Trying to be Winnipeg's only alternative media source is hard work.
Now, while the Joss Reimers of the city parrot this nonsense on your godforsaken AM radio choices in this town,
one man has the skill, experience, and passion to deal with pomposity, corruption, and daring to report on what others can't, won't, or have been told not to report on.
This isn't a surprise that our leaders put on a dog and pony show. They put on airs. They play their roles. They have a big head. High opinions of themselves, trying to continue to go along to get along.
The Great Canadian Talk Show with Marty Gold.
The Great Canadian Talk Show is brought to you by The Hive Hair Company. From classic to funky, the styles of your life are at The Hive, in the heart of the Osborne Village at 175 Osborne. Call 452-4483 or online, thehivehaircompany.com.
Do you have a comment, story tip, or want to advertise or support the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast? Email tgcts1@gmail.com, join the Facebook group, or follow us on Twitter at tgcts. You have the power.
Because of you, the Great Canadian Talk Show has made headlines for over 15 years and forced important issues to be acknowledged and dealt with.
The problem here is that they want everything their own way in every situation. It's unpalatable to the general public, but they're frozen out by the process.
There are no subsidies for paying the bills for keeping the government honest.
They just see money. Of course, it's your tax dollars, but it's being spent on their pet projects.
We're on your side.
A lot of these people in special interest groups, they don't bear any relationship to your life out there. They don't have any handle on what your reality is in your neighborhood.
Support old-fashioned investigative reporting that matters.
The best source of information is not the city councilor. It is this program and you listeners.
Support TGCTS today.
I don't want to get into a long explanation, but the way that the Jewish communities are set up in Winnipeg and other places, there's this, what's called the advocacy arm, CIJA, C-I-J-A, the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs. And they handle lobbying efforts on behalf of the Jewish federations for various things that are of interest. And it goes beyond Israel-specific matters to, say, healthcare facilities, the availability of emergency room services, senior supports, mental health supports in the community in general, stuff like that. They've taken on this mantle. In the course of this circular that was put through the Jewish community and discussing the NDP budget under Wab Kanu, there are three, along with, you know, mental health professionals being hired, funding for 25, mandating Holocaust education in the K-12 curriculum and increasing funding for anti-racism and safe sport initiatives for Sport Manitoba. Now, for those that are kind of new, for about 4 years, I was the editor of an online Jewish newspaper out of Winnipeg. We were the only real Zionist-oriented pro-Israel publication in the country, really of this nature. And I had the pleasure of editing and working on stories and investigations, reports about what's going on in Ottawa, how things are handled at committee, by people far more accomplished than myself. But one of the things I did was I broke stories at a local level. One of the stories that I broke was about an incident involving the University of Winnipeg Collegiate Volleyball, a junior boys volleyball team, a basketball team rather, and the Gray Academy, in my day, Joseph Linsky Collegiate, basketball team, and an anti-Semitic incident that occurred that was covered up. It was covered up not only by the University of Winnipeg Collegiate, it was covered up by the Jewish community leadership that claimed that because minors were involved, nothing could be discussed. This is, of course, absolute bullshit, because any incident that we've heard about in the States and in Canada where things have gone on at high school basketball games, for instance, you know which schools are involved. There's video of the incidents. There's public explanations of what the remediative action will be, what kind of reconciliation will take place. The cone of silence came over this. And I featured this very heavily last February and March, I guess it was. And nobody wanted to say nothing. And that includes, and I've been holding on to the audio, and I'm not going to play it today, of a government official trying to make fun of me making an inquiry on behalf of the Jewish community about what the provincial education department had done. Now we see that CEJA, the so-called leadership, advocacy leadership of the Jewish community, it seems to be falling for this bullshit again. So I'm going to make it clear. I'm going to be sending this these people an email and asking them with regards to this anti-racism and safe support initiatives from Sport Manitoba, who has looked into what happened between the Jewish high school at the Jewish campus and the University of Winnipeg Collegiate? What discipline was exacted? Were these athletes, who among other things were way into the from the river to the sea kind of stuff, eliminationist rhetoric uttered at Jewish students who are in a Zionist environment, did the government, whether it was Heather Stephenson's government or Wob Kanu's government, do anything? Are you really going to be fooled by, oh, they're increasing funding, when you have this funding but you don't actually address anti-Semitism, when there's no consequences for it? Because it appears that that's what happened with these student athletes at the University of Winnipeg Collegiate. These were grade 9 and 10s. This was the junior varsity. I'll put up links to those stories. So I noticed this, right, that this came up. And when the Free Press covered it, no other media outlet even tried it, and the Free Press managed to cover this incident involving behavior without using the word anti-Semitism, a complete, utter disgrace. And evidence of how, as I said, the Overton window has shifted against traditional values, against traditional understandings of the meanings of words. And this has permeated all up and down the ladder. The Manitoban editorially promoting a proposal that's gone before the UMSU board, the Students' Union board, to adopt a definition of anti-Palestinian racism that's based on a drawing up of this definition put forward by the Canadian Arab Lawyers Association, saying, well, if you've adopted the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism, there should be a counterpart to it. Except there's rivers and oceans of difference between the IHRA process to get to that point where there was a definition of anti-Semitism that was workshopped internationally through and is adopted by 35 member countries, 7 observers, founded by a former Swedish prime minister. This wasn't created by the Canadian Jewish Lawyers Association. And so, you know, the vanguard of this kind of, and let there be no mistake, anti-Zionism is absolute Jew hate, because you cannot separate the core of Judaism from our traditional millennial connection for many millennia to the Holy Land. The proposed definition of anti-Palestinian racism doesn't have any qualifiers. And even if you try to defend the concept of Jewish self-determination or legitimacy of Israel, you're going to be called a racist. You're going to be called a Nakba denier. The catastrophe of the Arab countries declaring war and losing, and then having on their hands refugees that they did not want to absorb into their own countries. As Rhonda Spivak explained in the Winnipeg Jewish Review, anyone speaking in favor of a two-state solution, Canada's stated policy, will run afoul of the definition of Nakba denial and the proposed definition before UMSU. Even the global imams have adopted the IHRA working definition. According to Rhonda Spivak, this proposed definition of anti-Palestinian racism, promoted by the Manitoban, right? So this is the kind of feedback, misinformation is being put in front of university students, our best and our brightest. This has not been adopted by any country, including Canada, not by any province, not by any intergovernmental body, no organization, no major mainstream Canadian Jewish organization has adopted this as a counterpart to the Global Imam Council. But this is what's being promoted out there. Two-state solution is Nakba denial. That's what people hear from the Manitoban. Honest Reporting Canada, which keeps an eye on the media in relation to its reporting on matters involving Jewish and Israeli affairs, twice recently flagged the Winnipeg newspapers, the dailies. First, the tabloid. I know I usually say it about the other paper. In this case, it is the Winnipeg Sun. And they published a letter to the editor on April the 2nd. And the writer, a fellow named Glenn with two N's, Holmes, H-O-L-M-S, claimed the October 7th massacres were nothing more than, quote, a false flag operation, falsely blamed on Hamas. And that was used by Israel to justify stealing Gaza. Now, of course, as Honest Reporting Canada says, this is an unhinged conspiracy theory. The evidence of the contrary is beyond overwhelming, given the physical evidence, the GoPros, and every other indication that all sorts of butchery and savagery, far beyond what was ever imagined by the Cossacks and other marauders through the centuries that have victimized Jews and shtetls, ghettos, villages, kibbutzim. This guy says, it's a false flag by Israel. This was published in the Winnipeg Sun. How that got through, hard to say. Is that a legitimate opinion to be publishing in a newspaper? Well, it's an anti-Semitic position. Now, as for the Winnipeg Sun, this goes back to what we've talked about previously. One of our most listened to podcasts so far this year was about the reporter Jen Zarate, who attended a educational event discussing the sexual violence, the rape, and sexual assaults of not just women, but Israeli men as well, by Hamas, by these terrorists, on October 7th and in the aftermath. And this was an event that was that at the Human Rights Museum and hosted by Gail Asper. And Jen Zarate wrote a column going, oh, but there wasn't any mention of the poor Gazan women. And what about them? Well, this was about the Jews and the Israelis. And Jen Zarate got roundly chastised for her far-left Marxist betrayal of feminism. And she was applauded for her column by John Longhurst. And when the Free Press heard about that, all of a sudden you saw him writing a piece about the Jewish Federation, about Jeff Lieberman, and all this making up to the Jewish community, who made very clear to the Free Press leadership that there was a line over which they best not step, and they had. And of course, the Free Press needs the support of the community. They solicit donations for their faith page, which has repeatedly published material that is blatantly anti-Zionist and anti-Semitic. Honest Reporting Canada, pointing out that a March 25th article in the Free Press entitled Food from Mennonite Central Committee Arrives in Gaza, and you'd be hard-pressed to find a more anti-Semitic group than the Mennonite Central Committee, by the way. John Longhurst repeated the same misinformation, making the rounds around the world. How is that possible? The Winnipeg Free Press, don't they have editors there? Well, apparently not. Longer's article reported on a truckload of food aid from the MCC entering Gaza and wrote that time-intensive inspections by Israel have resulted in a significant delay in shipping the food, according to the MCC. Oh my God, they want to make sure that there's no guns or ammunition. The horrors. Unfortunately, readers, as Mike Fegelman wrote for Honest Reporting Canada, readers are left without any critical context. So why Israel be inspecting trucks that enter Gaza? If Longhurst provided this background, he could have told readers that Hamas had sought to smuggle weapons into Gaza using virtually every method available to it, including aid trucks and ambulances. As a result, ensuring that trucks purporting to be carrying humanitarian aid or delivering just that, not deadly weapons, a matter of life and death, a point that went unsaid in Longhurst's article. Elsewhere, Longhurst wrote, and I've seen this one all over the place, this kind of idea that before the Hamas October 7th attack, 500 trucks a day brought food and other items into Gaza. Now it's only 160 or so. Once again, Longhurst's article provided significantly misleading information. While it is accurate, wrote Honest Reporting Canada, that roughly 500 trucks enter Gaza daily before October 7th, the vast majority of them were not carrying food or medicine. They were carrying building supplies, and only about 70 trucks per day carried food. Today, the number of trucks delivering food into Gaza is significantly higher, about 126 per day. By failing to point out this enormously significant point, the building supplies, by the way, used to build tunnels, used to build rockets, used to build Hamas military infrastructure, not used for the public good in Gaza. Those are the trucks not making it. By failing to point this out, Longhurst helped to perpetuate the demonstrably false accusations being leveled against Israel. The article then linking to various videos inside Gaza, where there are still markets operating, where there's still food available at the markets and in restaurants, etc. It's by no means there a famine all across the Gaza territory. Longhurst quoted Bruce Gunther, representative of the MCC, alleging Israel is guilty of carrying out a chokehold on delivery of aid and adding it is a crime to withhold aid to civilians. Well, this Bruce Gunther sure is an expert. On the day Longhurst's article was published, over 200 trucks filled with humanitarian aid entered Gaza, an additional 159 tons of additional aid airdropped. The next day, 258 humanitarian aid trucks entered Gaza, 166 of which carried food, twice the amount that was entering the enclave prior to the war. Longhurst also didn't mention that 20% of the aid that enters Gaza doesn't get distributed to those who need it. We've seen footage of armed gunmen. They commandeer the trucks and they shoot Gazans trying to get the food. The conclusion of Honest Reporting Canada, quote, John Longhurst's March 25th article gave unfettered and uncritical coverage to baseless allegations that Israel is blocking aid into Gaza, all while failing to provide the factual evidence refuting these claims. And you know who falls for this stuff? Who promotes the concept of starvation as a tactic of war? The families minister of the Manitoba NDP, Nahanni Fontaine. She's been the subject of two very popular podcasts, and she's going to be the subject of another one because she's said a few things. She's been adjacent to a few things that are, let's just say that it sure smells like Jew-hating, lies, and anti-Semitism to me and to others. But you see, this is what's going around the community, and people accept it as fact. And then next thing you know, Nahanni Fontaine, or maybe Wapkinu himself, is going to cite this Longhurst column as proof of something because the MCC said so. The Manitoba, the Winnipeg Sun, the Winnipeg Free Press, all stepping over the line, all failing to provide context, all taking what is essentially a pro-Hamas point of view. You can rest assured that with my background, my experience, and you can go back on our on actionline.ca, find the podcast about David Irving and my encounters with the leading pro-Nazi writer in the United Kingdom in the 1980s. I have a long history with this kind of stuff. And as long as I'm around, people will have somewhere to turn to where they'll hear something resembling the truth when it comes to what goes on in the Middle East, when it comes to what goes on with freedom fighters, resistance, and all the other Marxist, the way Marxists have tried to morph what has gone on, the butchery, the savagery, the Islamist terrorists, that are now being cast as some sort of brave fighters and fighting for a just cause. And, you know, the liberation of one is the liberation of all. We have to be very careful about this. And for all the money that Wapkinu, that the Siege, other organizations think Wapkinu is, and I don't think Wab's a bad guy when it comes to this stuff. I want to be clear. Even though he did used to work for Al Jazeera and he scrubbed it off his resume and nobody in the media ever mentions it, I don't think he's a bad guy when it comes to these kinds of things. I don't think he's the greatest guy, but I don't think he's a bad guy. When they talk about increasing funding for Holocaust education and the curriculum and anti-racism, all this other nonsense, well, listen up, folks. Coming up in May is going to be a litmus test for Wapkinu, for Mayor Gillingham, who has stood up and refused to get dragged into these nonsensical calls for ceasefire without the release of hostages. And it's pissed off so-called leaders in the Palestinian or pro-Gaza community. And Gillingham, to his credit, has held his ground and not caved in on this, unlike the way Wapkinu did. And you can take a look at Wab's Gaza Gambit, another of our highly rated podcasts. Coming up in May is going to be Al-Quds Day, which in Toronto, which we covered with the J.ca going back to 2019, the chance for the destruction of Israel, the chance for Jewish blood, the chance for Intifada, the chance to for the spread of Islamism as a dominant culture to take over the West. The streets of Toronto downtown were paralyzed by this. And we saw this 4 years ago and said, this is coming to Winnipeg. Oh, no, nothing to be, including these, you know, these great leaders from places like CEJA and the Jewish Federation. Oh, no, we don't have to worry about that. Oh, they did nothing to be proactive. They did nothing to try to ward it off. They did nothing to mobilize the Jewish community. They did nothing to mobilize the general community. Because believe me, when they're marching and they're talking about concepts of Intifada, if you aren't a lefty, if you aren't a Marxist, if you aren't in this liberation theology, you're a target, just as surely as the Jews are. And we saw even the peacenik Jews in the Gaza envelope. We saw what happened to them, including to one that knew my grandparents. I knew her parents, for God's sake. Butchered, slaughtered. There's a lot of mentalities around these support groups in Winnipeg. That, you know, we've seen signs extolling the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, a banned terrorist group. Winnipeg police did nothing. All these hate crime complaints, Winnipeg police have done nothing. Wabkanu has done nothing. Well, when Al-Quds Day comes, what happens if there's a march here in Winnipeg? And those kinds of things are chanted, calling for an intifada. And there's already been chants on the U of M campus. I've seen the video. What happens when it's 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people? Is Wabkanu going to speak up? What exactly is Wabkanu's education department going to do to convince kids that even though they see it plastered all over news with no critical coverage, as you've just heard from the Manitoba, the Sun, the Free Press, how they approach these things? How are you going to convince kids this isn't so cool? This isn't right. That it's biased, it's slanted, it's one-sided, it's dangerous rhetoric. That it's the verge of Nazi Germany. Never in my life have I heard people talk, Jewish people talk, about leaving Canada, about how we are unsafe. We can't walk to synagogue. We can't frequent stores in commonly Jewish, even saying that a neighborhood is Jewish. People try to criticize, you know, oh, you can't say that. Well, yes, you can. And lastly, Anthony Housefather, a member of parliament for Montreal, deciding that he's going to stay with the Liberal caucus because he thinks he can do more good from the inside when they have 14 or 15 members that are clearly close to Justin Trudeau and pro-Hamas, and Trudeau himself isn't very far removed from being seen as being terrorist adjacent. Not far removed at all. His fake fight against anti-Semitism ran 47 parts in the J.CA. I'm going to continue to stand for what's right. I'm going to continue to stand for telling the truth. I'm going to continue to push back. As I said, when people want to know what's really going on, I'll be here on this podcast on actionline.ca, and I'll continue to call out Canoe, call out Gillingham. I'll compliment them. I'll laud them when they do something right, and I'll criticize them when they do something wrong, and I'll be looking at our MLAs, our city councilors, and our members of parliament, and Justin Trudeau, and Pierre Poilievre, and Jagmeet Singh, and everybody else. Jews in this country are imperiled. You might get a taste of what it's like Al-Quds Day in Winnipeg. And if it doesn't materialize, that'll be a miracle. Let's see how they handle it in Toronto. A few minor busts last week, and the pro-Hamas crowd lost their minds and surrounded a police station. Can you imagine that happening in Winnipeg? Oh, wait, I think something like that sort of already has, but not from that crowd. We live in times that are challenging. And the narrative has shifted. It has shifted against common sense, against Western values, and against what we know is true. No one else reports on these, you know, incidents, these matters about involving anti-Semitism, anti-Zionism, anti-Semitism masquerading as anti-Zionism. I provide those reports. And one of the reasons I'm able to do so is because of your support, because of your support for our fundraising campaign. Heading into the tail end here over the course of the weekend, we're about $455 short as I record this. Go to the donate page, do what you can. This is an example of the kind of reporting that I'll take the time to put together, the kind of information that I will compile, the kind of counter-narrative that you can arm yourself with. So when somebody says, oh, I read in the Free Press this, or I saw in the Sun that, or the Manitoban this, you'll be able to say, ah, but. You'll be able to challenge it. You'll be able to stand strong for what you believe in. You'll be able to push back. You'll be able to know you're doing the right thing. Because I'm going to continue to try to provide you with the information you need to provide those arguments, to provide that rationale, to back up your own beliefs. Nobody else in Winnipeg Media does that. Your support, that's what makes this happen. Whether it's covering anti-Semitism, whether it's covering the legislature, city hall, crime and courts, policing, you name it, I'm on it. Thanks to your support. Always, every time I deal with a public official, I file a Freedom of Information request or whatever I'm doing, I'm on the phone, I keep in mind when I do this work, it's for one reason. It's because you have the power. Thank you for listening.
With decades of experience in investigative journalism and an insatiable passion for Winnipeg, Marty Gold is the voice of the voiceless.
Because it's your life and your future and your family's future and the economic well-being of you and your business. We see how the Dr. Joss Reimers of the world, the woke jokesters, don't want to acknowledge what's going on, who's responsible, and who the victims really are.
Despite what the media, bureaucrats, and politicians have led you to believe, you have the power. The Great Canadian Talk Show Podcast on actionline.ca.
Thanks for listening to The Great Canadian Talk Show. If you want to email Marty, send it to tgcts1@gmail.com or follow him on Twitter @tgcts.